Where was the church? Where was God in the midst of all of that? God's own people, the Jews, suffering. I'm sure more than one Jew asked, why, O God, why us? Why are you persecuting us? Where was God in the concentration camps? Where was God in the ovens of Auschwitz, Birkenau, and Treblinka, and Dachau? Where was God? Unfortunately, it took a world war to end the Holocaust. Unfortunately, it took an atom bomb to end the war in the Pacific. Unfortunately, many people died, but the Holocaust ended. The war ended at great cost. Sometimes suffering comes about because of our bad choices, our poor choices. Finally, suffering is caused by sickness. Anybody here ever not been sick a day in their life? I didn't think so. All of us get sick eventually, don't we? And sometimes we get very, very ill. But when we do, sometimes in the throes of that sickness or illness or those fevers, we ask, why? Why me, Lord? Why am I so sick? And some people may even say, Lord, why are you punishing me with this sickness or illness? Punishing you? I thought Jesus took care of the punishment for sin on the cross. He doesn't need to send cancer and other diseases to punish us. When someone gets sick and very sick, and many people will come and say, well, it must have been God's will. It must have been God's will. That troubles me, because that's the same as saying that God caused this to happen, that God is putting this on you for some reason. I've read a story about Leslie Weatherhead, who was a great preacher and missionary from another generation, and he was a missionary in India many years ago. And as he was ministering to this family in India, a man's daughter died of cholera. At that time, there was a huge plague epidemic of cholera during that time. And so the man, in confiding with Pastor Weatherhead, said, well, it must have been God's will. And Weatherhead thought about that for a minute, and he said to the man, John, what would you think of someone who may have crept into your daughter's bedroom with a cloth soaked with the cholera germ and put it over her mouth? What would you think of that? And the man said, oh, such a man would be a monster. And Weatherhead said, well, when you say it was God's will, or God must have caused this to happen, you're saying that God is a monster. Does God kill little children? Does God kill people? Does God rape women? Does God allow sexual abuse in homes? Sickness and disease is not God's will, folks. It is not God's will for people to get sick. How many times do we read over and over again in Scripture that Jesus went about healing the sick? The deaf received their hearing. The blind received their sight. The crippled got strength back in their legs. The lepers were healed. No, no. It's not God's will for people to be sick. It's just that we live in a world that is broken, and that there is such a thing as disease. There is such a thing as pain and suffering due to illness and sickness. You know, these bodies are an amazing thing. Now, sometimes we get sick and they heal themselves, right? We get a cut or a scrape and it heals in a couple of weeks and whatnot. But sometimes we need medical treatment. Sometimes we get things like cancer or fibromyalgia or any number of diseases that are out there. And we need help, and we need the technology that God gives to the experts. But a lot of times our bodies heal themselves. Ever had a cold? Ever had the flu? Oh, you feel like you're dying, right? but these bodies heal themselves. Think about your car in comparison. Your car may last 150, 200, 250,000 miles if you're really, really fortunate. I got one now, it's about 100,000 miles. But many cars today last 10, 15, 20 years, and then they break down or they're beyond fixing or whatnot. Think about these bodies. People live now to be in their 80s and 90s. And I just read somewhere that the oldest man on the earth died at the age of 104 just a couple of weeks ago. 104 years. People are living longer and longer and longer lives. Put a scratch on your car door and wait for it to heal itself. I'm afraid you'll be there a while waiting for that scratch to heal. These bodies are amazing machines, if you will, or able to heal themselves. We are all susceptible to sickness and illness. It's coming to us all eventually. It's part of living in this world. It's part of living in physical bodies. But do we blame God when we're sick and when we're ill, or do we praise God like the psalmist? The psalmist says in Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We have a lady in our church. She doesn't attend this service. She is in stage 4 cancer. She has cancer of the liver, the lungs, and the lymph glands. She knows it's a battle she may not win. She doesn't blame God. She is comforted, though, with the knowledge that God is with her and that God loves her. And she's making the most of each day. Her son, she lives with her son, and her son is her primary caregiver, along with a daughter. And she has shared with me that no matter what happens, she knows that God is with her and God will be with her forever. And that she believes God will never let her go. That's faith, folks. That's faith. This woman could be angry with God. She could be shaking her fist at God, which is okay, by the way. You're not the first person that's shaken their fist at God and become angry with God about certain things. There's a whole book of Lamentations in the Bible that is nothing but complaints against God. Many of the Psalms are people who are complaining against God. God did not cause this to happen to you, whatever that suffering may be. It's part of living in this world. But the good news is that God is with you through it. Today we've been encouraged to rethink about some assumptions and beliefs that many people have. That if you have enough faith, that somehow you're going to get out of this life without suffering. The assumption or belief that everything happens for a reason, or that some tragedy or suffering is a result of God's will, or that God's punishing you for some sin. Today, we have looked at the different causes of suffering. And I think you can really boil down all the suffering in our world, all the suffering in life, into these three categories. I think Pastor Hamilton has hit it right on the head. Natural disasters cause suffering. Bad choices cause suffering. Sickness and illness cause suffering. These are the causes of the suffering of living in this life. And the strangest thing is that many people turn away from God in times like these. They reject God. They quit coming to church. They get angry at God and turn away from God. And I've always wondered, why would someone turn away from their greatest source of hope and strength and comfort when they need God the most? I want to leave you with a thought today. God never promised us a life without suffering, but does promise that suffering will not have the last word. suffering will not have the last word. Ultimately, God wins. I've read the back of that book called the Bible, and God wins, folks. Jesus suffered a horrible death, did he not? But he didn't stay dead. My Bible tells me Jesus rose on the third day, that he was raised from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father today. God doesn't cause suffering or punish his children with suffering, but can use that suffering for God's greater purposes. God can use our suffering to draw him closer to himself, draw him closer to God's people. God promises to walk with us through the fire, through the fiery furnaces, through the floods, through the rapid waters. The 23rd Psalm reminds us, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Notice the psalmist is walking through the valley. He doesn't stay there. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The Apostle Paul, I want to close with this passage from Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul, who knew a thing or two about suffering, did he not? Paul suffered at the hands of his colleagues, and once he, you know, discovered Christ, the church turned against him. He was beaten, left for dead, snake bitten, shipwrecked, ran out of town, scourged in many different places. But Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 these words that I want to leave you with today. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For I am convinced," Paul says, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to leave you with those thoughts today about suffering. We've just skimmed the surface, and I encourage you to think deeply about these things and think about some of the things that we've talked about here this morning. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for perhaps opening our eyes to some new insights on you and suffering. And I pray that today, Lord, that someone here today has not said yes to you. Perhaps they are still seeking and searching and trying to find answers to their questions. Perhaps there's someone here today, Lord, who has turned away from you, who has rejected you, or is thinking about rejecting you. Dear Lord, help us to believe. Help us to trust you. When we see suffering in others, help us to be your hands and your feet to aid those that you send us to. And Lord, we pray that you take the pain that we have experienced, the brokenness, the hurt, the sorrow in our lives, and turn them into something beautiful. Something good can come from them, we know and we believe. Lord, we recommit ourselves today to you. We believe, O God, help our unbelief and help us to trust you. Amen.